الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the beautiful series The Blessed Seerah of Beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where we discuss the Mubarak biography of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his lifestyle as a means of inspiration for us, inshallah, to be able to follow his sunnah, inshallah, through our daily lives as we learn the examples from the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he encountered troubles and how he overcame them. By the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, inshallah, and there lies an example for us to follow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us through the Mubarak life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us inshallah learn about this beautiful hadith with regards to sending durood and salam in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he states that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me in the world. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear viewers, as we have learnt in the previous episode regarding the events prior to the migration of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Madina Munawwara, and inshallah in today's episode let us learn about his actual migration from Makkah Mukarrama to Madina Munawwara, inshallah. As he was driven out and he was forced to leave the city of Makkah Mukarrama by the cruelty of the people of Makkah, who drove him out, who made life unbearable for our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers, his companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Dear viewers, it is mentioned that when Madina Munawwara, after the Bay'ah of Al-Aqaba, when Madina Munawwara became a place of refuge for Islam and its followers, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made an announcement to his companions that whoever wanted to migrate to Madina was free to do so. The first person to migrate from Makkah to Madina was Sayyidina Abu Salama radiallahu anhu, and was followed by a steady stream of Muslims. After him, the kuffar, they attempted to stop people from migrating upon becoming aware of it. Yet many Muslims were still able to secretly migrate, such that the only ones remaining behind were those who were either unable to afford to do so or who had been imprisoned by the kuffar. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not as yet migrated, as he was still waiting for the command of Allah azza wa jal to migrate. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam also instructed Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu to stay behind with him. Initially, the disbelievers, they were happy to see the Muslims leaving Makkah Mukarramah, thinking it would be better if they leave Makkah free of those who were against the idols. However, after seeing that almost all the Muslims had migrated to Madina Munawwara and that they had been granted refuge by the Ansar, they became apprehensive that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would also go to Madina and mobilize an army to attack them, the Kuffar of Quraysh. Therefore, convened a large meeting at Darun Nadwa, the assembly house, scheming against our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of them was Iblis, Shaitan, the cursed, who attended this meeting. And he appeared in the form of an old man wearing a a garment, an old coarse garment. The people did not recognize him and asked who he was. And Iblis replied, I am an old man from Najd who has heard what you have arranged to meet for and has come to lend you his advice. Allahu Akbar. Satan. When people scheming against our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who comes to advise them? Iblis himself. The Quraysh agreed to include him in his meeting. And the meeting commenced. And when they began to discuss about the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu al-Bakhtari suggested that keep him in fetters, lock him up and tie both his hands and legs. He should be given food through a small hatch. Iblis disapproved this proposal and said, this is not a good idea. His followers are loyal and will sacrifice their own lives to free him. And thereafter, Abu al-Aswad, Rabi'a ibn Amr al-Amiri, he suggested that let's expel him from the land and banish him from Makkah. He would thus be stopped from spreading and preaching Islam and reading the Quran. Thereby, we will get rid of him and we shall be able to put our face in order again and restore social harmony. The suggestion infuriated Iblis. And he cursed his idea and he said, do you not see the beauty of Muhammad's discourse and how he dominates the hearts of people with his message? If you expel him, people will become convinced by what he says and that he will soon have the whole of Arabia under his control and will return with a mighty army to launch an attack on you. After gaining victory, which is inevitable, he will become the master and enslave all of you. This is not an option even worth discussing. This was the remark passed by Iblis upon the suggestion of this kuffar. After which, lastly, Abu Jahl spoke and he said, people, I have an idea that no one has yet considered. The attendees eagerly inquired as to what this idea was, and Abu Jahl informed them that we take one man from each tribe and they should attack Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam all at once and kill him. Thus, all of the tribes will be responsible for his death. And it is obvious that Banu Hashim, meaning the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will not be able to avenge his death and fight against all of them. And therefore, they will settle for blood money instead, the burden of which can be shared quite easily by the tribes. Hearing this devilish scheme, Iblis joyously exclaimed, this is a great idea. There is no better solution than this. All those present in the meeting accepted the proposal of Abu Jahl and the meeting concluded and they all returned home. This incident has been mentioned in the Holy Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Anfal, verse number 30. And, O beloved Prophet, remember when the disbelievers were scheming against you to confine you or to slay you or to drive you forth. And they were scheming and Allah was making a secret plan. And Allah's secret plan is the best, subhanAllah. Let us find out the details of those events, how it unfolded, the devilish scheme that they plotted against our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the kuffar, they had resolved to assassinate the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and returned home, Allah azza wa jal sent Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the following instruction that, O my beloved, do not sleep in your bed tonight, but migrate to Medina. Finally, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the command from Allah azza wa jal to migrate to Medina. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the house of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu that afternoon. And upon entering inside, he asked Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq if he could talk privately to him, ensuring there was absolutely no one else present there because of the nature of the matter that was to be discussed. And in the house at the times, as Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said, that there is no one else in the house but your wife, meaning Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was married to her by that time. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to Sayyidina Abu Bakr, O Abu Bakr, my Lord has granted me permission to migrate to Medina. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha requested that he be allowed to accompany him. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam granted Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha the honor of traveling with him to Medina Munawwara. For 4 months prior to this, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha had reared 2 camels and was getting them ready by feeding them and looking after them precisely for this purpose, for the purpose of hijrah, for the purpose of migrating from Makkah to Medina. And he requested the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to choose whichever one of the 2 camels that he preferred. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had chosen a camel and said, I accept it, but I will pay its price. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was reluctant to accept the money, but upon the insistence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did so, he accepted it. Once the provision had been prepared for the journey, Sayyida Asma binti Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, she prepared the food and water for the journey ahead. It was a day's journey. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he employed Abdullah ibn Uraiqit, a kafir, as a guide because of his excellent knowledge of travel routes, and instructed him to bring 2 camels of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu to the cave of Thawr after 3 days. Once all of the preparations for the journey had been made, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned to his house. In keeping with the scheme, now the Kuffar of Makkah, they surrounded the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and eagerly waited for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fall asleep in order to attack and kill him. At the time when they surrounded the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the only other person in the house of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Even though the Kuffar of Makkah were staunch enemies of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they could not deny his honesty and trustworthiness. And so they still entrusted their valuables and their belongings to him. Allahu Akbar, such was the noble character of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These valuables and belongings were in the possession of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even at the time when they besieged the Mubarak house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the intention to assassinate him. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he instructed Sayyidina Ali karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem, and he said to him to cover yourself with my green mantle, my green chadar, and sleep in my bed. After I leave, return these valuables and belongings to their rightful owners and join us in Medina Munawwara. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu knew that the kuffar intended to kill the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet he did not for even a moment fear for his life because of his absolute faith in the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, who had instructed him, return the belongings to their owners and then join us in Medina. So he knew before he fulfills that task which came out of the lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nobody could do anything to him because these were the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he had absolute faith in them. This should be a lesson for us to learn, to have faith and firm conviction in the Mubarak words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ali karamallahu wajhul kareem therefore knew that he would not be killed. Thus Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala slept peacefully until dawn in the bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that night. After instructing Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala to sleep in his bed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked out of his house carrying a handful of sand and reciting the opening verses of Surah Yasin. Dear viewers, he then placed the sand on the heads of the kuffar camped outside his house waiting to kill him. He passed by them without them even noticing. Allahu Akbar. This is the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected his beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was only when another individual who was not amongst those who had besieged the house told them that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had left his house already and had placed sand upon their heads. And only then did they come to realize what had just happened. They indeed found sand in their hair when they checked. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he continued to the place called Al-Hazura. When he looked towards the Kaaba and said, O city of Makkah, how pure a land are you and how beloved and dear are you to me. Had I not been driven out by my people, I would have chosen nowhere else to reside. Allahu Akbar. This is how much he loved the city of Makkah. But because of the oppression and the persecution of the kuffar of Makkah, he was forced to leave his motherland, his beloved city of Makkah Mukarramah. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu had already been informed to meet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at Al-Hazura and duly arrived on time. Whilst they were walking, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala turned back and noticed that the trail of footprints they were leaving and also that the blessed feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were injured, mindful that the kuffar would search for them by following their footsteps. And upon seeing the blessed feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahu Akbar, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu carried the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his shoulders. Subhanallah. This was his immense love for the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is how he wanted to make sure that the traces weren't followed, as well as helping our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his injury, so he doesn't have to walk any further. Walking over sharp stones and thorns along the way, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he still carried our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam over his shoulders until they reached the cave of Thawr that night. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he entered the cave first, cleaned it and filled any holes by tearing his clothing. There was one hole that could not have been filled. There was not enough clothing left to fill that one hole, the last hole that remained there. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu placed his heel over it. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then entered the cave and rested his head on the lap of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala before falling asleep. While the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam rested, a snake repeatedly bit Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala on the heel that was placed over the hole. However, the intensity of the pain became unbearable, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala could not hold back his tears, which fell upon the blessed cheeks of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And awakening him, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said, crying, Allahu Akbar, he started crying, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, Abu Bakr, what has happened? Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala replied, O Messenger of Allah, a snake has bitten me. And upon hearing this, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed his blessed saliva on the wound, and the pain disappeared instantly and the wound healed. Allahu Akbar. This is the mu'jiza and the miracle of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They spent 3 nights in the cave with the son of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, name by the name of Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu, spending the nights guarding the cave at its entrance. In the morning, he would return to Makkah Mukarramah and gather information about the kuffar's plan, and later on returning back to inform the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about them in the evening. The slave of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Amir ibn Fuhaira radiallahu anhu, would also come by the cave grazing his goats. He would milk the goats and give the milk to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr. Meanwhile, the kuffar who had surrounded the house of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the entire night, stormed in the morning, only to find out Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala was inside. And they allowed him to leave and began to thoroughly search the whole of Makkah and its surrounding areas for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Now, the cave of Thawr, they even reached the entrance of the cave of Thawr. However, Allah Azza wa Jal had placed a guard of safety at its entrance. How? By the Qudrat of Allah Azza wa Jal, a spider's web and a pigeon's nest with its eggs was placed there at the entrance. And the kuffar, when they looked at it, they said, had there been anyone inside the cave, there would not have been a spider's web or a nest with eggs. Hearing the kuffar's footsteps, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anxiously said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our enemies are very close now. If they lower their gaze only a little, they will be able to see us. Upon which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had firm conviction in the plan of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the secret plan of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he said, La tahzan, inna Allaha ma'ana. Grieve not, surely Allah is with us. And this is mentioned in Surah Tawbah, verse number 40. Allah Azza wa Jal poured tranquility into the heart of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, after which he became totally fearless. Subhanallah. It was this virtue and merit of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allahu Akbar, that he was granted with the companionship of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the cave. And he is also famous. His title is Yari Ghar, the friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the cave. Allahu Akbar. He was so close to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, in Islam, we regard him the best of mankind after the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal alayhi wasallam. Wa Abdul Bashar Ba'd al-Anbiya'i bit-taqiq. That's what Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu has to say about him. And after 3 days, on Monday, the first Rabi'ul Awwal, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left the cave of Thawr with Abdullah ibn Uraiqit, arriving with the two camels as agreed. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam rode his camel while Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and Sayyidina Amr bin Fuhaira rode the other camel. And Abdullah ibn Uraiqit walked ahead. He was leading the way. They chose the coastal route and avoided the more common routes to Madinah Munawwara. When the kuffar had tried of searching for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they announced a reward of 100 red camels for the one who captured the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is mentioned that as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on this journey, a famed horseman of Makkah, Suraqa ibn Malik, he was approaching fast towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Suraqa soon was caught up with them, and just when he intended to attack Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his horse stumbled and he fell off his horse. Allahu Akbar. The thought of the prize of 100 camels drove Suraqa radiallahu anhu, who later on became Muslim, alhamdulillah, to once again attempt to attack the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam supplicated against him, which caused Suraqa's horse to sink knee deep into the ground. Allahu Akbar. Upon witnessing this miracle of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Suraqa was awestruck. He came to the realization that he would never be able to catch the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thus he pleaded for his safety. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being the most merciful in the history of mankind that the mankind has ever seen, Allahu bi rahmatan lil alamin, mercy unto the worlds. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam he took pity on him and supplicated to Allah Azza wa Jal for the ground to release the horse. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, supplicated to Allah Azza wa Jal for the ground to release the horse, as it had captured the horse of Sayyidina Suraqa, and it did so immediately. Suraqa then asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a document guaranteeing his safety. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Sayyidina Amir ibn Fuhaira or Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala to write a document guaranteeing Suraqa's protection. And Suraqa placed the letter in his quiver and returned back to Mecca. He would turn back anyone he met on his way looking for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by telling them, "I have searched for miles and miles without any joy." As he was setting off on his return to Mecca, Suraqa offered the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala some food and provision for the journey, but they declined. Suraqa did not embrace Islam at the time, but admired the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and was greatly impressed by the mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set camp at Jirana after the battles of Taif, Hunain and the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. Suraqa brought that very same document guaranteeing his safety, and with a large group of tribesmen, Allahu Akbar, and they all accepted Islam. It should be noted that this is the very same Suraqa ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala an, who was informed by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "O Suraqa, how will it be when you are given the bangles of Kisra, king of Persia, to wear?" Years later after that, during the caliphate of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Persia was conquered and the bangles of Kisra, meaning the bangles of the king of Persia, were brought to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He then handed them to Sayyidina Suraqa radiallahu anhu and said, "O Suraqa, praise be to Allah who has granted you the bangles of Kisra to wear," thus affirming the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These were the truest words ever spoken, the words coming out of the blessed lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us inshallah recite durood and salam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'ina wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani channel, Sayyidina Suraqa ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away in the year 24 AH during the caliphate of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Dear viewers, when our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after this long journey, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approached the city of Medina, he was close and he was confronted by Buraidah al-Aslami, who advanced towards him with 70 other horsemen or riders of Banu Sahm, fueled by the greed of Kufar's reward of 100 camels, of course. Buraidah had committed himself to capturing the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked who he was, upon which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, "I am Muhammad, son of Abdullah, I am the Messenger of Allah." The beauty and the appearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had such a profound effect on Buraidah that he immediately embraced Islam, subhanallah, saying, "O Messenger of Allah, it is my wish that you enter Medina with a flag raised high," subhanallah. Sayyidina Buraidah radiallahu anhu untied his turban and wrapped it around his spear and walked ahead of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a flag bearer for the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, raising the flag and walking ahead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, informing the people of Medina of the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. Sayyidina Buraidah radiallahu anhu asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "O the Messenger of Allah, where will you stay in Medina Munawwara?" And to that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, my she camel is guided by Allah Azza wa Jal, and I will stay wherever she sits. Incidentally, during the journey of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sayyidina Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who met, and he was the son of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's paternal aunt, Sayyida Safiya radiallahu anha, and was returning with merchandise from Sham, from Syria. He presented the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, with valuable items of clothing as gifts, which they accepted. And as all the people of Medina Munawwara, including women and children, keenly awaited to meet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, awaiting his arrival when the news of Hijrah had reached them days before the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina Munawwara. In anticipation of seeing the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would come out of their homes daily in the early hours of the morning and would only return disappointed later on when the heat became unbearable. And one day, the people of Medina had once again returned to their homes disappointed, when unexpectedly a Jewish resident spotted the procession close by in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was traveling, and announced to the people as loudly as he could, "O people of Medina, the one whom you have been awaiting so eagerly has arrived." Subhanallah. Overcome with joy and happiness, the people of Medina Munawwara rushed out of their homes carrying their swords and spears, all set to welcome the king of Medina. Their shouts of takbir resonated throughout the city, "Allahu Akbar." Subhanallah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam blessed the city of Quba on the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal. The Quba is situated approximately 3 miles from Masjid Nabawi Sharif and is where Masjid Quba, the first masjid in Islam, was built. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed at the house of Kulsum radiallahu ta'ala anha, a member of the tribe of Amr ibn Auf. Overwhelmed with joy and happiness of being honored with hosting the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the family members chanted the takbir. The Ansar would come from all directions to greet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many of the companions who had performed hijrah, including Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who migrated after returning everything that had been entrusted to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to their rightful owners. He was also staying at the house of Sayyida Kulsum radiallahu anha. Sayyidina Kulsum ibn Hidm and his family served these eminent guests night and day. Subhanallah. Such blessed guests, Allahu Akbar. The mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was showering in the lands of Medina Munawwara, and he blessed this land when he migrated to this beautiful city, about which we all make dua. This beautiful dua, "Dikha de ya ilahi, wo Medina kaisi basti hai jahan par raat din maula teri rahmat barasti hai, amin bijahin nabiyil amin." Subhanallah. It was that the good fortune of the tribe of Amr ibn Auf that they were blessed with the opportunity to host the leader of them, all the messengers and his beloved companions as well. The radiance emanating from the house of Sayyida Kulsum radiallahu anha at the time would have surely outshone the light of the universe. Subhanallah. Out of joy and bliss of having the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions as guests, it seems as though every child of the tribe of Amr ibn Auf was joyously saying, "Unke qadam pe main nisar, jinke qadam mein naz ne ujde hue diyar ko rashke chaman bana diya." Subhanallah. Let us inshallah recite durood and salam once again in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear viewers, as we learned about the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this episode, inshallah, we continue to learn more and more about our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and fall in love with his blessed personality, inshallah, and derive those madani pearls and words of inspiration The counsel that we seek from the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it can become a guideline for us to adorn our lives with, inshallah, to get a solid understanding of how our lives should be as opposed to the wayward ways of living that we have been doing. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as it is the mission of your Da'wat Islami to propagate the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beautiful movement of Quran and sunnah. And inshallah, we conclude with this slogan of Da'wat Islami, that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world, inshallah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'ina wa sallam.
Increase our love to the pro